We need universal definitions, but I don't think that's possible.
No, universal definition is not possible, but I think that a company language is possible.
Ah.
This is the Leadership Communication Show, a podcast to help people like you be the inspiring and influential leaders their people need. I'm Michael Paperno, and I'm a communication expert, teacher, and coach. My personal mission is to help good leaders be great leaders through the power of communication. I promise you'll learn something from each guest on this show that will help you along your personal leadership journey. Okay, on with the show. Today's conversation is with Gilda Di Certi, CEO and founder of PQE Group. Gilda's recognized as an international expert in the field of IT system validation and life sciences, and her company is known for helping pharmaceutical and life sciences companies of all sizes achieve, maintain, and even exceed compliance with the latest regulations. And of course, that contributes to a safer pharmaceutical environment. The company has more than 1,500 employees located all over the world, with local subsidiaries in regions ranging from the United States to Japan. Gilda founded PQE Group in 1998 and now has a truly diverse workforce that represents more than 40 nationalities. She's also a writer who's published articles about leadership, inclusion, diversity, and global business practices for major publications, including Forbes. So, as you can see, here's why I wanted her to be a guest on our show to talk about communicating across cultures. Welcome to the show, Gilda.
So, Michael, thank you for inviting me here. I'm happy to share some of what we have done and what I am with the people listening to you.
Gilda, tell us a little bit more about you and your leadership journey and your company. Let's start there.
PQE has been founded in Italy 23 years ago, but after many years where I lived outside Italy, I'm Italian by birth, but I lived both in Canada and Spain. And I lived there my professional life, the first part of my professional life, until when, which was dedicated to IT field in the pharma field. Mm-hmm. And then one day it was the starting point for quality, IT quality in the life science, beginning of the 90s. So I started working in this field and I founded PQE in 98. So since the beginning, my real driver is a strong ethic driver. Mm-hmm. In the sense of creating working places, first of all, because I think that work is really one of the good things for having a community, a healthy and community and society. But on the other hand, since the beginning, I had a dream of a global company. Mm. Why? A global company because I think in the value of otherness, okay? The value of diversity that if accepted and managed in the right way can create a lot of energy. Mm? Energy in the sense of good things for the community where we live, but also good things from a business point of view. So, having this in mind, we have moved through the continents. Sure. As you said, now we are in Asia Pacific, Europe, US, Latin America. And of course, the problems we are facing are huge. But on the other hand, it is a fantastic, let's say, adventure because. It shows that really a synergic quality environment is possible where people from different nations, different culture, different color, sex, age can work together in a peaceful and quality environment. Okay, so I think that this is a great message, not only for people working in PQE, but also outside PQE.
So you have a very, very, very diverse client base then, operating in so many parts of the world. But what strikes me listening to you, Gilda, is you've built this global company, and that was a dream of yours. And I love the reasons that you shared for wanting to do that. But how did you do that with so many different people working together across cultures? Do you have like a cultural onboarding process, or how do you get so many different cultures and countries and people with different backgrounds operating together?
I think that in the beginning, one major success element was our being Italian. Okay, mm-hmm. Because Italy is a small country, okay, with a long tradition of being invaded by everybody.
Right.
We had Spanish people, people from the north, people from the south, Arabic, everybody moved through Italy. So I think that a certain openness and certain flexibility was really something in our basic initial DNA. Okay. So in the beginning, there was this element, and the other element, which I think is very important in all the quality system, that the management involvement. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing works in a company, small or big, if the managers, the top level, are not involved in a project, are not really believing in it, sponsoring it. Okay. So these two elements have made the trick in the beginning. And in the beginning, being most of our population made of Italian people, there was not much need of writing, okay? Speaking about big difference, for example, between European, Italian specifically, and US, okay? In US, you have the world of procedure, okay? procedures, standard procedure were born there, in Anglo-Saxon culture, okay? So everything has to be in written, okay? It's a very low context culture, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Why the reverse for Italian? You don't need to write everything, because most of the people, if they are told once, they understand and remember, okay, and adapt to the situation, okay. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I have to say, nothing was written, but more and more we moved through continent and culture, we understood that the need for having a procedure, for having a quality system, we are certified ISO, but it's not to have a piece of paper, it's really to apply, to enforce handbooks, etc., was mandatory, okay? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. most of what we have, a quality manual, we have, let's say, now I may say that we have put in written what are our, let's say, the things we believe, the behavior we are expecting. Mm-hmm. Clearly, let's say, doing a process of creolization, okay? Because every time you have to adapt your model to the culture, okay? Because mm-hmm. not right. even among the Anglo-Saxon world, let's say the perception in UK is different from US, is different from Australia, okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the same in the Spanish world. So from Argentina to Mexico, there are differences, big differences also. So we are trying to create what is called a dynamic culture, okay? Which is a flow among the different culture, creating our own organizational culture, which is based in a synergistic way on difference and point of strengths, point of difference, trying to create the best teamwork that is not always the best, but is the best depending on the situation.
So what do you see, and don't be shy about using an American like me as an example, but what do you see as some of the the bigger mistakes that you've seen made by either your company or other companies that I know that you've consulted with when it comes to communicating with a specific culture?
Not speaking about the clients, which are always good by definition for having to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. But speaking about us, I think that there are many, many small things that we have made as mistakes, especially in the US. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's very different when you come visiting, holidays, studying, etc., and when you work. Okay.
Yes.
So we started the company 5 years ago, and I have to say we are still on the learning curve for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But for example, one problem I already mentioned: these are communication, low contest and high contest.
Hmm? Right.
Another aspect is the trusting process. Okay. Most of the trusting we see our client have in our consultant is based on the CV, okay? Mm-hmm. Why, for example, in Europe or for Italian people, really it's very important the relationship that the person can make, okay? So we are, mm-hmm. in a sense, more sensitive to soft skill than hard skill.
Hmm? Interesting. Mm-hmm.
As we are more, we create a more affective, let's speak about trusting, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The aspect of having feelings, having emotional feelings with your team, for us is very important, okay? Mm. Why, in a sense, in the US, to maintain barriers in between the company and the employee is considered a positive thing.
That's right. That's right. That's been hard for me, Gilda, because I'm an emotional guy. So, you know, having to be, you know, we have in America, I've heard bosses say, you know, we don't cry at work, or we don't bring, you know, leave your personal baggage at home. And that's just not realistic human behavior. But you're right. It is culturally, it's changing here a little bit, but that is culturally what it's like in business in the United States, at least in the past, 30 years for me.
I just give you an example. In Italy, the fact of having the partner of one of our employees employed in the company, we find it positive, or to have mm-hmm. friends. Okay, if you suggest a friend, you are working for me, I give you a reward. Okay. Clearly, in the US, it's not looked in the same way. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is an important part of the work, because now I'm summarizing, but before understanding all these, it took time. It took reading, booking, but it's never like the real life experience, okay?
Right, right.
There is also, this is also another aspect, which is related to, the posture, the attitude, okay? So in Italy, for example, or in Europe in general, if you are living through a bad moment, okay? Mm-hmm. I see you in trouble. Mm? It is normal that I put my hand on your shoulder. Also, if you are a man and I am a woman, or the reverse, okay? This is considered very affectionate. It's a good thing. Okay, it's an appreciated thing. Totally the opposite in the United States. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So clearly, regarding this, I think we have done a good job of formalizing all these aspects in a training onboarding program. Okay. Mm-hmm. That we use for our US employees, but also for our not US employees. In order to understand this concept that I was mentioning of otherness, okay? Because the first point is to understand that culture is just a measuring system that a group of people has made, creating definition for saying what is good and what is bad. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it is not that one culture is better than another one, generally speaking. Okay. Mm-hmm, it's that right. the panel of or things or behavior that we consider acceptable or not acceptable is different. And it is different, as I mentioned before, for historical reason in many cases. Okay, for so first of all, it's important, I think, in a multicultural situation like ours, that everybody understand him or herself. Okay, because mm-hmm. if you take notice and you understand what are your beliefs, okay. You are conscious that they are just a way of interpreting reality. They are just a pair of glasses, okay? If you have pink one, you see pink. If you have a green one, you see green, okay? Mm-hmm. But pink and green are not one better than another one. It's a good starting point. So we have tried to make a lot of effort on training, on coaching also, supported by psychologists about this, which is something not so... Let's say once, why I'm saying it, it looks so logic, okay? But when you are confronted with the problem and you are in a tough situation, you feel really bad. You start to criticize, saying, these Americans, you cannot understand what they are thinking, okay? And of course, the same happens with us, okay?
Right, right. Yeah, and it's interesting because I love the glasses and example that you gave, because even within your own culture, mm-hmm. you all see things different ways. A lot of the training and coaching that I do in my work is helping good teams be better by honoring the differences that they all bring to the table, even though they're all from the United States, or some are even from the same state. And we have different culture. We have different cultures even within this country, from state to state and even regions and everything. So, but it's important, I think, that self-awareness piece that you talked about, and then honoring otherness, like you said. And if people will just take a little bit more time to do that, then our communications can be better. Because I know you've talked about the cultural iceberg that's there. And I love a good visual for people. You want to talk a little bit about that? Because I think that can help. That can be a visual for people to remember, not only here in my own corporate culture, but if I'm communicating across borders, there's a lot more that I need to be considering.
Yes, let's say the iceberg is, in a sense, what we see is the difference in culture, okay? The difference in language and the communication way, in rituals, in symbols, okay? But behind below the surface, let's say, there are what we believe, okay? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to say and not to say, okay? What does it mean to listen or to speak? Okay, mm-hmm. So there is what are our values, our hidden values, okay, mm-hmm. our communication styles. So these all create a baseline which is not apparent. Okay, the apparent is for most, they say, if you are a man or a woman. If you speak German or English, okay? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I would have a lot to say about English, okay? It's a fantastic language, the best tool ever invented after Latin. But on the other hand, it is a damnation because everybody is speaking it, apparently, okay? But mm-hmm. the meaning I give to a word is completely different from the one you do, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we use the same word, but what we mean, what we understand is different. And by the way, I was discussing this in Europe, and we are participating in many projects financed by the European community, okay? So it was a project participated by people from many countries. One country was UK, but it was the only one English mother tongue. So at some point, one guy from Sweden said, okay, we all speak English, but the real meaning must be ours in this context, because we are the great majority. So you English guy have to understand how we use the word.
Right. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit complex, but the linguistic expertise, it is a major point, okay, to try to create a vocabulary that we are confronted with and we agree about what we are saying. Because imagine now with the COVID and not the opportunity of seeing each other in person, how this has created major problems, okay? Because clearly we were speaking in English, but the meaning, the 20% was perceived, and the 80% which was below the iceberg, below the, the water, was lost, okay? So I think it's a real brain teaser.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's I'm really glad you brought that up, because I talk a lot about when nonverbal communication is stripped, you know, when we can't see each other or be together in a room, there's so much richness of that communication that's not there. I never really thought about the fact that, you know, two English speaking people from different cultures have assigned different meaning to certain words and what they're hearing, and being in person and having the benefit of that, I can see really supports that. I spend a lot of time coaching people from the United States who have to present in Europe, and usually they're presenting in English, and, you know, I have to coach them on making sure that they take their time, that they don't use what we call jargon here, or you know, words that are really indicative of our culture that aren't understood. But that's a whole nother level that you just talked about that's so critical. We need universal definitions, but I don't think that's possible.
No, universal definition is not possible, but I think that a company language is possible, okay? I think that we are, let's say, encouraging our people, all our people, and we pay for it to learn another language, okay? Typical Spanish, which is the most spoken, okay, after English and Chinese, but because I think that it's a mental exercise. If you learn another language, in a sense, another time, you get acquainted with the fact that there is not a unique word for defining something, okay?
That's right.
So it is a very important mechanism. So going back to one of your previous question, I think that one of the good advice I would give to someone that is looking for going international is to try to have as many multicultural person in management position as possible, okay? Multicultural, I mean people that have been born in one country and maybe traveled to another one, grew up in another one, or studied in another one, or are, let's say, son of a mother and a father coming from different countries. I think that these people are the best one, are the future, because they are accustomed to the fact that there is not an only way of doing things. So this is something really helpful for fostering this otherness culture, let's say.
Yeah. Well, Gilda, we're coming to the end of this episode, and I haven't given you really a chance to talk about PQE Group and who you serve. So do you want to take a moment and talk about what your company does and let my listeners know who you help so that they can contact you if they need to?
Okay. So we are providing services, 360 degrees of quality service in the life science space, okay? I speak about services, not consultancy, also if we provide consultancy, because consultancy is, I come to your place, I tell you what to do, and I go away, okay? Service means that I come to your place, I tell you what to do, and if you need any help, I support you in doing. But on the other hand, our model is not the model of a staffing agency that I just give you people and I invoice in the end of the month, but we mm-hmm. like to be partner, to make mm-hmm. a governance of top of the people, trying to solve, to help you in solving problems. Okay, so I would like to be remembered as a problem solvers.
That's great. Terrific. So what's next for you? What are you working on that's exciting you right now? Is there anything?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
you're an entrepreneur, so there's always something going on, right?
Okay, on top of growing PQE, because I'm never happy about what I reach, because I would like to have thousands of people, men and women from all the country in the world, living in peace and doing an important job for their community. So with a local approach. So this is remains our main topics. My pet project in this moment is related to service that have cannabis in the middle, okay? So I strongly believe in the importance of medical cannabis, mm-hmm. okay? I think that cannabis can be used for medical purpose, solving, let's say, most of the problem or supporting solving most of the problem that the traditional pharma has not yet reached, okay? So I would like to move in this space, supporting with our competence, also related to IT, artificial intelligence, etc., the study of how the genetics of the plants, which is, let's say, the most diverse, one of the most diverse plant in the world, that can support the medical, sector. Mm-hmm. So this is my dream in this moment.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that with us. So, well, listen, tell my listeners, Gilda, how they can learn more about you or PQE.
Okay, on top of our website, I'm trying to be available on LinkedIn and Forbes, writing some articles, and then just call me.
Great. Yep. Good. Your website is PQE.com or PQE Group?
It's PQEgroup.com.
PQEgroup.com. Great. And then again, follow Gilda on LinkedIn for sure. And yes. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really enjoy talking to you and getting to know you better. I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of the Leadership Communications Show. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you think this show can help other people you know, please tell them about it too. To learn more about me and my work, head over to my websites at michaelpiperno.com and wearecomvia.com. While you're there, be sure to check out all of the leadership communication tips and tricks I share on my blogs. See you next time. If you're a senior leader in healthcare who's thinking about making the transition to the early and mid-stage life sciences world, the Comvia Group's Write the Next Chapter of Your Career program is for you. Learn more and get access to a free preview at www.wearecomvia.com/next-chapter. That's www.wearecomvia.com/next-chapter. The Leadership Communication Show is brought to you by the Comvia Group, your source for leadership communication and workplace relationships coaching and training. Visit wearecomvia, that's wearecomvia.com to learn more.